chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. This is God's commission to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to, to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The text we have before us today might be in the Old Testament, but do not let that fool you. The feelings that Joshua and all of Israel are feeling are some of the most basic feelings we have. Joshua and Israel are facing a great task, a task they have failed before, the reason they were in the desert for 40 years. Today you might be here, stressed by your life, your family might be stressful. You might be facing tough tasks at work. You might be worrying about your friends and whether or not you fit in at school or work or somewhere else. In today's world, I believe we all know the feeling of the walls closing in on us. We know the feeling of pressure and the need to succeed. We know the consequences of failure all too well. Especially in Frankfurt, it is basically the air we breathe. That brings a lot of pressure on us. Whether you're sitting here thinking you're a failure, or you're facing a great challenge, I believe this message will either build you up, will definitely build you up. To you, Christian, similar to Joshua and Israel, you are faced with one great challenge. While still important, it is not success in your family. It is not your job, and it's definitely not your status. It is the Great Commission Jesus has given all of us right before ascending to heaven. If you know and love Jesus, it is our calling to preach to the nations, to call them into discipleship of Jesus and spread the good news, which is the gospel. I'll read out from Matthew 28, 18 to 20. That's the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age." If you view this passage in Joshua 1 through the lens of the Great Commission to us, we will see that the instruction that God gives to Joshua are essential for us as we live out the Great Commission right here in Frankfurt. So let's dive right into passages in the passage and look at verses 1 to 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Moses, the son of Nun, Moses, his assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Here we can clearly see how hopeless Israel must have felt. It's not just that the great leader has died. For them, Moses was not just a leader. For the Israelites, Moses was an embodiment of God's covenant. When Moses died, the tribe was right in front of the promised land. They were at the cusp of inheriting the great promise that God has made to them in the desert and to their forefathers. Moses was a great leader. He led them out of Egypt. He parted the sea. God used Moses to provide for his people. He led battles. He literally is the only person to see God. He gave them 10 commandments. This is not just a leader. He is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, comparable to Tom Brady or Cristiano Ronaldo for the Jews, or so you might think. We know that Moses was a sinner, just like you and me. We know the reason why he died and didn't enter the promised land is because of his failure in the past. But we should not be deceived by our own perspective. What God is showing the Israelites is that no human, no leader, no superstar could ever be what we put our hope in. They will always fail us. And God reminds Joshua of this and of his task. And he says in verses 2 to 5, "Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." All right. Here we see that God is telling to Joshua, I am giving to them. He is giving to the people of Israel. God gives Joshua this mission. It's a massively intimidating and bold mission, but God is also claiming that he will give it to them. He will do the work. Similar to Joshua putting his hope in Moses, we do the same. Right now, the first few minutes of the sermon, I want to expose some insecurities that we might have. As humans, it's our biggest struggle to trust God. We will always be tempted to trust in other things. This might be trusting your family. It might be trusting your job. It might be trusting in politics. It might be leaders or even entertainment. This was Joshua's temptation, to put his trust in other things. All these things that are more or less good can and will become idols faster than you think. Idols are not things that are inherently bad, but good things that distract us from God and his mission for your life. Do not turn to these idols in times of struggle and in times of tribulation. The only thing that can save is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Only if we look to Christ in our despair, we will find hope and find what all our hearts are so desperately longing for. Do we trust this? Do we believe it? That cross of Christ is sufficient. Or do we begin to look somewhere else and begin to trust in other things for comfort and security? We see the great task ahead of us, reaching the nations, preaching the gospel in Frankfurt. But do we trust the gospel? Do we trust God to do the work? This is what God is reminding his people of. This is what God is reminding Joshua of when Moses died. But he just didn't just leave him in despair of their fallen leader, but he gives them words of encouragement, makes a promise, and reminds them that only God will remain when all else fails. If God says he will do it, he will do it. We can be assured that he will do it. This is what we are called to trust and to believe. God is with us, and he goes before us. He has promised, and he will do it. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that something that gives us confidence, not in our abilities, but in God's abilities? God is able to do what we could never do in our own strength. He encourages Joshua. And he encourages Joshua in 3 points. He encourages Joshua in 1 point to remember God's faithfulness. Like in the song we sung, we're called to have faith in Jesus. Then he's called to obey God's word. And in the third point, he's called to find true strength and true courage. And it's a call to action. So in verses 2 to 5, we're called to remember God's faithfulness. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them. The people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave, and I will not forsake you. Here God makes it very clear to Joshua. He cares for the whole people. He cares for the nation he has made a covenant with. He cares about their country. He cares about them as a whole to inherit the land. He cares. But also, there is a continuing task at hand. The job continues. It is not Moses or Joshua who conquers the land. It is God. He is giving it to them. By promising this, he is making a command and a covenant simultaneously. We can read the command in 2b. Arise, go over. You can see that's a clear command. God will not just hand over the land, but he wants Joshua to go into action. He calls him for a task. By the same time, and we can't miss it, he's also making a promise. He tells his people that he is in control, and he knows the end. As it is written, I am giving to them. God says that he will do it. Nothing we do is outside of God's realm. All he calls us to do is to follow him. Not by our own understanding, but by faith. He has been faithful, and he will be faithful. This is also what God expects from us as we live out the Great Commission. We don't know what the outcome will be, but we know God, and we know that he is faithful. So we all are commanded to have faith, to take each step, not by sight, but by faith. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If we go back to the Great Commission, we are reminded that Jesus also gave a command and a promise. We know the command of the Great Commission. It's that go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded to you. But the Great Commission is also bookended by two promises on which we can trust as we live out the Great Commission. We can read in chapter 28, verses 18 and verse 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then in verse 20, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Our confidence is not in our abilities or our strength, but it is in the promise of the power of Jesus working through the gospel right here in Frankfurt. Amen. Let's look at verses 5, where God makes a covenant with Joshua very personally. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses,
So I will be with you. I will not leave and not forsake you. God here makes a very personal covenant to Joshua. God shows that he is invested not only in the people, but also into the person of Joshua. God will be with Joshua no matter what comes, just as Jesus promised that he will be with us no matter what comes. He is with Joshua in every calamity, in every shortcoming, in every step of the way. Anywhere he goes, anything he faces, Joshua can know it is not him who is fighting the battles, but it is God who is behind him and before him. Joshua can know he does not need to rely on his own strength. Here we can see, while we don't have an egocentric religion where everything revolves around us, we have a God. While being the center of the universe, he still cares about you and me, about the individual. And Christian, when you have put your hope in Christ, this is what Jesus has commanded you and he has promised you, that he will be with us and he will not leave or forsake us. Like we read in Matthew 28, verse 20, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we know that no one can stand against our God. So to quote Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? So we learn, God is a God who is faithful to his church, but also to the individual. We're called to trust in his covenant and to walk not by sight, but by faith. And then in verses 6, God doubles down on his command to have faith in him. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. God refers here to a past covenant that he has made with the forefathers, and he reminds Joshua that he should be strong and courageous, not because of his own strength, but because of God's covenant with his people. Just as Joshua was called to be strong and courageous, so also we can be strong and courageous through our faith in the ultimate covenant God has ever made. That's Jesus Christ on the cross. Secondly, he calls Joshua to obey God's word. So let's continue by reading verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the left hand or to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make your ways prosperous, then you will have good success. Be strong and courageous. Here it is again. But this time there's commands behind it. And the chain of commands goes from the outside to the inside, to our hearts. First, we're commanded to do the law. Then we're commanded not to go to the left or to the right. Then we're called to speak it. We're called to have it on our lips. And then finally, we're called to meditate on it. If we follow the trajectory of these commands from the backwards, from our hearts, to forwards, to the action of following the law, it starts in our hearts as we meditate. Then the word is on our lips as we speak it. And then we stay focused on the word, not going to the left or to the right. And then finally, we do the word. We do the commandments. So let's walk through these commandments from the outside to the inside. It's not just a commandment to be, but also to do. Joshua was instructed to do the law, to obey the law. For the Israelites, this was an act of faith, trusting in God's ways rather than the ways of the world all around them. Adhering to the law set them apart. It made them different than the world around them. But it all came back to one thing. That is trust. Trust in God's word as the better way. If we go back to the Great Commission, we see that this was also a part of Jesus' command to us, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, doing the law. As Christians, we are also instructed to live holy and obedient lives. This is our act of faith, to live holy lives in a crooked generation. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. That's a tall order. Not just that, it's impossible. How can I ever obey all that Christ has commanded to me? Let me be clear here. We are not called to be perfect and fully accomplish everything that is asked from us. That is the reason that Christ died on the cross for us. But the good news is not finished at the cross. The cross is only the beginning. Jesus not only saved us from our old life, but he has called us into new life. Our story is not finished when we give our life to Christ. It is not finished when we are saved. Just like the Israelites, the story only begun when they left Egypt. That their true life, their true calling, which is entering the promised land, was still ahead. So be careful, Christian, not to spend 40 years in the desert like the Israelites did, wasting our new life, wasting life Christ has called us to, wasting the freedom we have in Christ. Christian, you are saved, saved for a reason. So we stay on track, trusting in God's word and striving towards spirit-fueled obedience. Next, God calls Joshua not to turn from it to the left or to the right. As the Israelites were entering the promised land, they would be confronted with a lot of options on how to live. A lot of voices will be calling them off the straight path. The call to turn to the left or to the right is not to turn from the left or to the right is a call of scriptural faithfulness, not to accommodate to the world around them. Today in our society, straying from God's word is the name of the game. If we look to churches in the West, we can see how dangerous it really is, but also how easy it is to turn to the left or to the right. If we look around us, in Germany, so many churches have turned to the left by putting the world's truth above God's truth. For us, this means rejecting the Bible and everything God has commanded us to do. Rather than scripture, they highlight some vague notion of mercy and some vague notion of grace, allowing people to pick and choose from God's word. Not submitting to God, rather only using God as another moral achievement in their lives, making them good people. This leads people to accommodate to culture. They lose their identity in Christ. They just become another part of society. They ignore the word of God, saying, God, I know better. Even saying, God, you are wrong. Or churches become legalistic. It should not be underestimated, and it has been a huge problem in the past. Probably why the churches in Germany have gone so far in the opposite direction. Today, this might be the Catholic Church or some fundamentalist church in the US. Here, churches have forgotten God's mercy and grace, and they start relying on their own deeds, believing the lie that one becomes saved by doing good works. This is fatal because they lose their joy. They become hard-hearted and, quite frankly, grumpy. How do you stay on the right path then? It seems like avoiding one automatically puts you on the opposite side of the spectrum. That's very true. Staying on the straight and narrow path is one of the hardest things you can do, individually, but also collectively. But this is exactly what God is reminding Joshua of. Joshua cannot do it. So also we cannot do it, but it is God who can do it. God reminds Joshua that the only thing keeping him on the right path is faith in God. Only if we trust in God and trust that he has commanded us, what he has commanded us, we will be able to walk the right path, trusting that God will do it. Moving inward, the next instruction God gives Joshua is that the word of God should not depart from his mouth. I find it quite interesting wording. But what does it mean to have God's words on your mouth? I think it means to constantly preach to yourself, reminding yourself of what God has done with the word, using the Bible to remind ourselves, to remind our hearts of the gospel. This is a life spent with God, constantly living dependent of God, living dependent of his word in the Bible. You can't just come on Sunday and fill up your spiritual tank for the week. That's not enough. Only being a Christian on Sunday, but living Monday through Saturday like everyone else, is not living a renewed life. Being a Sunday Christian is not enough. We must live a fully new and transformed life, through and through. Being Christian is not just part of our lives, it is our life. Having God's word on our lips, speaking the word to ourselves and to one another, is how we remind ourselves of our true identity. So if the word should not depart from our mouth, then this leads us to the next command: to meditate on it day and night. What does that mean? What does real meditation mean? What God is calling us to do is to focus our minds and our hearts on Scripture, to ponder and to think about the truth revealed to us in Scripture. God wants us to focus not on ourselves, but he wants us to focus on him, on his character, on the gospel, on his law, and remember everything that he has done for us. God wants us to shift our focus from constantly thinking about ourselves to thinking about him. To meditate on God's word means to allow our hearts to focus on the wonderful truth which we find in Scripture. Do you love God's word? Do you believe it? Is God talking to you and to me through Scripture? If we really believe this, this wonderful truth that God has revealed himself to us, then we can truly meditate on it. Only if we have tasted the sweet good news of the gospel, we can really appreciate and love his word. To finish off these verses, God promises Joshua success when he does these things. This is where we have to be very careful. God promises Joshua success in conquering the promised land. He does not promise us unhindered success in every area of our lives. But we are promised. What are we promised? What is our success in God? What is our promised land? Our promised land is the life with Christ, eternally in heaven. But for you, Christian, this life has started already, the moment Christ entered your heart. God promises success right here. He promises us that he will not leave or forsake us by giving us the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead us. This success is not worldly success in jobs or family or something else. Rather, it is a promise that God will accomplish his plans and for his purposes in your life, but also in the world around us. The Great Commission will be accomplished because God has promised it. Just as God gave the land to Joshua, Jesus will bring us home into a renewed creation, without evil, without death, without tears or pain, That, brothers and sisters, that's the true promised land. Now to the final point of encouragement, that true strength and true courage is not passive. In the beginning, God encourages Joshua and the nation, making them a promise that he will be with them and even grant them victory. He calls them to trust him. That is the first part. For us, this means trusting the gospel to do its work. Have faith in Jesus. And that is how we find encouragement and hope in our great task of doing the Great Commission in Frankfurt. But we're not left with a feel-good encouragement that to just dwell at church, to be content with ourselves, to be happy at church, although that's good. We're encouraged to act, to join the spiritual fight, and to do what God pleases. Christian, may this be your true strength and your true courage. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to us to save us from our misery, to make us clean. Not just that, he calls us to new life. There is no greater strength and no greater courage than this. Do not leave it at that. Once you are strong, once you are courageous, not through your own strength and courage, but through Christ, Jesus on the cross. We are called to join the battle. Don't just use this as empty encouragement. The gospel is true strength and true courage. Once we believe it and have faith in it, it will urge us to glorify God in our lives as we obey these commandments. Imagine what God can do if his church is a light to the nations. If we all go out to our jobs, proud of the gospel, not being fazed by the increasingly secular culture. God can change the culture. We can make disciples. So let me finish with the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. Let me pray before I finish off. Lord, thank you so much for giving us this great commandment, the Great Commission. Lord, you encourage us with true strength, with true courage. You encourage us that this great task at hand, reaching the nations, reaching Frankfurt, preaching the gospel, doing your commandment, is not out of our own strength, but out of our trust and faith in you. Lord, be with us today. Be with us next week as we live out lives, not for ourselves, not for our own glory, but for your glory. Motivated not by our own strength, not by our own vision, but motivated by your Son on the cross, who showed us the ultimate sacrifice of love. Lord, this is our prayer. We want to show the light that you have showed us. We want to show it to all of Frankfurt. We want to show it to all of the people around us. Lord, let this be our true strength and true courage. In your name I pray. Amen.